If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, Will.
How are you?
We made it. We're here. We did it. It's the 20th anniversary reunion episode of I Hear Voices for Kim Possible cast and crew.
Ah! It's unbelievable. We got everybody together. I want to say their names, but I also want to say their character names, because while I say John DiMaggio's here, Nicole Sullivan's here, I want to say Draken's here and Shigo's here,
right?
And our director's here, the creators are here, and not only do we get to talk to everybody, but what else, Christy?
There is an entirely new scene that we are going to be doing together at the tail end of this episode. You will not want to miss it. This is what I Hear Voices was just absolutely made for. We are so excited to bring this to you guys. Take a listen. Share with a friend. You're going to be so happy you listened to this one.
Yeah, this is pretty great. You want to hear some new Kim Possible stuff? Because we got it. Check it out.
I Hear Voices.
I am so excited. By the way, we just start.
It's abrupt. It's jarring.
That is your big. We will do intros later so as not to waste your time, but we are essentially already halfway through the show.
All right.
This is awesome.
Thank
good
you for
so
coming.
Far.
It was very nice to see you.
It's great to see you.
We're
guys.
So excited. We are so excited. This is the one. So we should let you know very quickly before we get into the history of Kim Possible, which we want to talk about, that this episode of the show is the reason the show exists.
Wow.
So we started by saying we would love to do some kind of a Kim Possible reunion. Oh, wouldn't that be cool if we could film it? Oh, wouldn't that be cool if we could have a show? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then comes I Hear Voices. So it is because of Kim Possible that we are even here at all, which is pretty awesome.
And yes. The only reason we're here too. So it's unanimous.
We're a team. We're a family.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Christy, I don't even know where to start. You're Kim. You should start. Where do you think we should begin this sojourn?
Oh, wow. Okay. So Will and I, you know, we never did Comic-Cons, right, guys? Like, I remember us saying, like, oh, can we do them? And I don't think Disney really they weren't mainstream as they are now,
yeah, they
right?
weren't doing right. Comic-Cons back then. So, right after Kim.
Was there a reason why they didn't have us do Comic-Cons to even get the word out?
I think there was it was a thing of, is that our audience? Is that the Disney Channel audience, I think, was the mindset. And I think as time went by, they opened their minds a little bit about how do we reach people? Because certainly every show, it became a tradition, every new Disney TV animation show, Disney Channel show, had a panel at Comic-Con.
Well, I think after Kim, Comic-Con started having panels for everything anyway. I mean, prior to that,
That's true. It became more of a pop culture.
Yeah, it became pop culture.
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
Yeah.
So well, it wasn't personal.
No, I took it personally.
So I think we should probably start at the beginning. We've heard that now it's become a famous story that we've heard a number of times, but it sounds so kind of crazy that everyone thinks you made it up, but how did Kim Possible
We did start? Make it up. This was the easiest development we ever had.
Yeah.
We were Disney Channel had never worked with Disney TV animation before. They wanted a show. We knew their audience skewed girl. And we were on our way back from lunch. We were in an elevator, and I turned to Bob, and I said, Kim Possible, she can do anything.
And I said, Ron Stoppable, he can't. And by the time we got to our floor, which was only three floors, it wasn't a long trip.
It's one of those stories that sounds made up, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That the entire thing, almost the entire thing, was figured out.
And to be fair, Disney Channel's elevators are very slow.
That's true.
They're very slow.
If it had gone longer, we would have come up with the parents and the Tweebs, too.
Yeah.
Now, when you say Kim Possible, exact drawing as you go, Kim Possible, she can do anything. Was this a name that had bopping around in your head before, or did it just pop in the elevator?
You know, I think it was sort of the
corny
pun thing, and I don't know. It was weird. It was just sort of a magic moment. Disney magic.
There you go.
Yeah, I was actually kind of skeptical at first, because I'm like, can we really do a show just based on two dumb names? But... turns out you can.
It turns out you can.
Bob, where did you come up with Ron? Ron's.
I think just coming up with Unstoppable, and it's like, what sounded closest to that? And, you know, even though it doesn't really make sense, because Ron Stoppable sounding like Unstoppable is the opposite of what his actual personality is.
Oh my God! I honestly didn't even put two and two together.
All these years?
Did you really not? Really? All this time?
I honestly didn't. I just thought it was opposite of me being doing everything possible and him just
Unstoppable. Ron is very stoppable, it turns out. But
every Tom Petty song where he says, like, the rain was unstoppable, I always hear the rain was Ron Stoppable. They've ruined every Tom Petty song in history. Wow. Because of that. Okay, so
that.
From crazy slow elevator ride to first script, how long was that?
I have no idea.
Probably like 6 months, something like that, to the pilot. The original pilot was only 11 minutes long, and it was what became the episode Crush, but the difference originally was Shego didn't exist.
Ah.
I think Shego came out of some point. Mark was like, we've got to give Draken somebody to talk to. And then when we cast Nicole, who we had worked with on Buzz Lightyear, suddenly the whole relationship changed, because clearly Draken was not in charge once Shego was there. Yeah. So
very different dynamic.
And the Shego Kim relationship, you know, emerged very quickly, you know. That here,
which has taken on a life of its own.
Well, we hear we get that feedback quite a bit.
Yeah,
it's an interesting Google.
I mean, it's great because it actually, you know, it was people just respond to the show in different ways, and for a lot of people, that was a big deal.
We've gotten a lot of very positive feedback on that.
That's true.
On that front, you know, that.
So have we, from the whole LGBTQ community, from a number of different characters in the show, Senior, Senior, Junior, and there was a bunch of different characters that people really responded to in that community, which is kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that it was crossing all the different lines that it possibly could.
Yeah. So, guys, when did you guys start drawing Kim? Like, what was that process? You guys obviously have a background in animation, but like I've heard you guys talk about the Art Deco stuff, the inspiration for that, but can you talk a little bit? I'm just really curious.
We hired some artists, some great artists, to explore Kim. And then when Chris Bailey came aboard, he brought in Steven Silver, who had a very different approach to what we had been pursuing. And it was great. I mean, before that, Kim sort of looked like a DC character.
More naturalistic proportions.
Yeah.
But
Chris guiding the art team, Steven Silver doing character design, Alan Bodner as art director. I think Justin Thompson did layouts and backgrounds.
Who directed the Spider-Verse movie recently. So
he's directing the new
small
one.
Small little film.
Like directing the new one, yeah.
Yeah. So they all, you know, fused their talents. And it's one of the things that gave it such a unique look. You know, that till this day, it holds up as a pretty timeless design.
It does. I watched the pilot last night for my first time in years. And aside from the fact that Ron's voice is completely different, which is totally on me, which we'll get into
Ron got
in a little bit.
Higher over the years.
Ron got a lot higher. Well, that was
I got a lot lower, and he got a lot higher.
Yeah, you guys took two different paths.
We started that. We did. We switched. So I watched last night, and it was essentially my voice. Yeah. Like, you know what, KP? We got it. You know, we got about. And by the end, he's like all the way up here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we wanted to talk to you about that.
Did you really? No, I mean, I'm curious. I think Johnny DiMaggio said something to me one day in the booth, and other than that, I think one time Lisa went, maybe let's not push the voice too much, but nobody really said anything.
Nobody reeled Will in?
Yeah.
It evolved over time. I mean, I think it was, because, you know, season one was, what, 21 episodes or 22
something
episodes?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, something like
and
that.
Then season two was a chunkier order, and I think by the end of that, maybe it was starting to happen.
Yeah, season two was like 30 episodes or something, I think. It was long.
Were you, Will, were you doing another part that brought your voice to a different place?
No,
so
I think it was probably a combination of him being wacky and me being lazy.
I think it's true. You know, you were seeing the character over time.
That too.
And sometimes, too, the writing,
interesting,
he could get dumber, you know, as time went along. Or, you know, that first season, he's a little
more just the teenage guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I
mean, he's not good at the action stuff.
Now, the same thing happened to me on Boy Meets World. By the fourth or fifth role where they start to just write me dumber, it starts to
take it personally,
become a personal thing.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to know your wheelhouse. Know your wheelhouse.
The one thing I will say about Will's character, though, is that he always played it with heart.
Yes.
So that when you guys wrote to that, that's what kept me able to speak to him and justify Kim being with this guy, even thinking of him romantically, was because Ron has a lot of heart at the end of the day. And he's like 100% loyal to Kim, 100% has her back. Got your back, KP. Like,
yeah, I think
you know what I mean? Like, even though he was zany.
I think that was the key to the whole series, that there was a sweetness to it, that even though Kim could be sarcastic and funny in that way, and Ron could be an idiot and funny in that way, there was an emotional bond that really came through. And I think that's why, you know, people still remember it 20 years later, because they got invested in those characters.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted, do you guys remember gifting me this?
Wow. Yeah.
That's nice.
Do you remember? I don't know when you gave that to me.
I feel like that was pretty early on, probably. Yeah.
It was.
That's very cool.
Yeah, isn't it beautiful? Awesome. And they cite it. For people just listening, it is a cell. Well, it's not a cell,
it's a
but
drawing.
It's an original drawing by Bob and Mark, and it's
not
beautiful.
Not by us.
It was by somebody talented.
Oh, is it? Wait. Yeah. It says Chris. Do you think Chris?
Yeah,
I think Chris Bailey did that.
Okay,
that's a Bailey.
Yeah, that's Chris
really,
Bailey's
really
cool. style. That's for sure.
I should get this insured, you guys.
Yeah. Chris Bailey can draw like nobody's business, and we can draw like nobody.
And he was our first director.
That's right.
He really brought the team together on that look. I mean, you know, it was a lot of really
amazing
good storyboard. I mean, Dave Filoni was one of the storyboard artists. He's now Mr. Star Wars, you know.
A lot of people came through the ranks of KP.
He is Mr. Star Wars. It's like, you know, they've you know, he says it and they do it now, kind of Star Wars-wise.
Yeah, it just had.
And he was season two. I can't remember if he was season one or not. I guess maybe.
Steven Silver did some princesses too, right?
That
I thought that one of the people that was on the team designing Kim Possible were also designing some princesses.
I don't know. I mean, he now teaches character design, so he's done a lot. But it was definitely.
It's funny how you hear so many fabled random things about Kim Possible over the
years.
There's somebody online. It's like some of the casting stuff of who auditioned for it, and it's like, I don't remember that.
I mean,
we heard that too, because we asked Lisa Schaefer when we had her on, because one of the ones I heard was John Cena saying, "Oh, I auditioned for Ron Stoppable," but he said apparently.
If I ever meet him, I want to hear the story, because I don't remember it. And we were in all those auditions.
Just look up at him and ask.
I mean,
him
I
the
think
question,
Neil Patrick Harris was another one, and I'm pretty sure that actually did happen. Yeah. I vaguely, I mean, we worked with him years later on the Penguin show, but I should have asked him then. But
I feel like he must have read
John Cena. I do not, although why would I? I wouldn't have known who he was probably back then.
Yeah, I guess at the
time.
He
was great in Peacemaker. I'll give him that.
So now I have a question. So we've heard since the show has ended that from the time it started, the plan was to get Kim and Ron together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that.
I didn't either, but rewatching the pilot last night, you watch it in a different light, knowing that it is there is that kind of friendship zone vibe through the pilot episode.
And, you know, my daughter just this weekend started the beginning and was binging them all, which I recommend everyone should do. Go to Disney Plus.
Yes, please.
Even if you're not in the room, just hit play and just let it keep going. But anyway.
And let it go.
But it was fun particularly over the course of season one, to see, knowing that that's the goal far down the road, all the little peppered things in there of girls, and into season two, too, girls that Ron's interested in, guys that Kim is interested in, you know, that it definitely played like a, you know, we weren't purposely feeding the shipping, because I don't think we knew the term shipping yet.
No, that didn't exist.
We learned it pretty quick.
I think we learned it in the fan reaction to Kim.
Bob, how at the time were you getting fan reaction? Because the internet was, I mean, it was there, obviously, but it wasn't the same readily available
then
to everybody.
It was probably like Usenet message boards or something.
Message boards, I think.
Yeah.
IMDb had message boards. I don't know if you guys read those either, but I remember those.
Yeah, there was. I mean, because I think...
There was no Reddit.
There was no Reddit.
Right.
But there was, you know, it wasn't like now.
No Twitter.
You don't get the, get the onslaught. You had to seek it out to see what was playing. At first when you make, I mean, because we, you know, started cartoons in the dark ages on a typewriter. literally. But, you know, it was really cool at first when you could get feedback online to stuff, and then you realize, oh, this is this can,
oh, I get feedback,
this could get toxic pretty quick.
It's interesting when you actually like started, you know, early on I think everyone who made shows, when suddenly you could connect with fans directly, you would correct something that they got wrong or something, and they would get really mad.
They do not like that.
they would rather have their version of what they thought something was supposed to be than you saying, oh, no, what we meant was. But, you know, so we learned that lesson years ago now.
So what do you guys feel like? Why do you think Kim Possible is still, I know you mentioned that the vulnerability of Ron's character, but overall, why do people still love Kim Possible like they did as if it was new again?
Well, we have to say the writing, but no.
You're right.
I say the writing.
I don't disagree with that, though. I'm sorry. I don't disagree with that.
Part of it's the theme song, I think, too. The theme song.
Really?
The communicator beep that you still hear out there on people's phones.
Yeah. Everywhere.
It's always weird when I hear that in public.
You're telling me.
Yeah. But I think it was just everything came together, the character design. We were really lucky to make it in HD when it wasn't really airing in HD yet. So it actually looks really good if you watch it now.
But over the years, Bob and I, whenever we're doing like an informational interview with someone who is a recent college graduate who wants to get in the industry, consistently, almost every time, Kim Possible was this thing that inspired them when they were young. And I just spoke to a group from Temple University where we both went to school, that was out, and across the board, it was like, oh, Kim Possible is such an important thing to me. So, you know, I do think at the same time as us, there was Powerpuff Girls and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think there was something, you know, in the zeitgeist about female empowerment that everybody seemed to come up with separately, but they all kind of hit the airwaves around the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think it scratched an itch that people didn't quite know they had. You know what I mean? Like it just connected.
Interesting.
I think. But I do think the caliber of the writing and the performances. I mean, not just you guys and you know, John and Nicole, but gosh, rewatching the ones this weekend, Debbie Reynolds as Nana.
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
That's so good.
She just would knock it out of the park. And Ricardo Montalban as Senor Senior Senior.
Ugh. The cast of not just that, but the regular cast too. When you get into Gene Smart and Gary Cole as the parents are two of the greatest animated parents of all time. I mean, I will say that they're phenomenal.
They really are.
I'm enjoying Gene Smart's renaissance and the hacks.
Yes,
and
a lot of renaissances.
But
she's amazing.
It's about time because she's a genius.
Yeah, I mean, she just brought something to Mom, and he brought something to Dad that was just way beyond what you get in typical cartoon parents, you know?
And Ron's parents too.
And Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould. I mean, it was insane.
Was great.
And we got to work with exactly none of these people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the curse of the everyone's busy schedules and tended to be everybody in isolation.
Well, it's funny, like with Gene Smart and Gary Cole were such pros that they would come in and do their part in literally like 5 minutes. It would be like bing, bang.
Bye. Yeah. We just eventually just sort of nicknamed him the gunslinger. I mean, he would just come in. You would do three takes in the name of doing three takes, but.
Right.
Everyone he always hits just, a bullseye and you just go, all right, well, that's done. You know. Yeah.
I saw him once at a restaurant in Los Angeles. He was having lunch by himself and I walked over. I said, Mr. Cole, you know, we did a show together for a long time. I think we met once. It was Kim Possible. And in that voice, he went, yeah, nice to see you.
Yes!
And that was it.
I had a very similar experience with him. He is such a gentleman. And you know, we did a movie together.
He was very nice, but it was he was abruptly very nice to me.
Very professional guy.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind sticking around a little while here, we're going to go talk to some other people from Kim Possible. But, and we've teased this a little bit, you have both done something pretty amazing for us. And
so good.
You've written a new Kim Possible scene, and we are going to be recording it in a little bit.
Exclusive
so if you don't
content.
Mind hanging out, would that be
yeah,
cool?
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is exclusive.
Exclusive.
We can't
we're
wait.
Excited
access.
To hear the characters again.
We can't wait. Well, we were so excited to read it. It is. It brought us right back. Christy and I have been talking about it for days. It brought us right back to the show.
I have been freaking out all morning, you guys. You don't understand. My husband's it like, are you okay? I'm like,
awesome.
No.
We can't wait. So we're going to go talk to some of the other actors, and then we're going to bring everybody back. And Lisa Schaefer is going to come back and direct us again like old times. And we are going to record the scene. So thank you so much. And we are going to be coming back.
Thank you,
yes.
guys. You're awesome.
Thank you. And we'll see you in a bit.
Oh, this is so good. We love you guys. Yes, Nicole!
Yay, Nicole Sullivan's here!
You guys are so cute! I love you two!
We're so happy to see you.
So excited that you're here for the 20th
anniversary. I love you guys do this. I'm like in love with the fact that you guys chitty-chat all the time.
We chitty-chat, and the thing that's cool is that this whole Kim Possible thing was kind of what started our show here. We started I Hear Voices by thinking about the Kim Possible 20th anniversary.
No pressure!
Everyone back together. We did. How are you?
I mean, I'm really good. I still have my Shigo cell up in my office.
Did you get one?
No, I'm the only one who got nothing. I got nothing.
My agent got it for me. I don't understand how that works, but he got it for me as a gift.
That's amazing.
20 years ago.
Yes, I was trying to find my Camp Wanaweep shirt this morning. It's somewhere, but I don't know where
it actually is.
Yes,
wanna weep.
So we should jump in because we don't have
Let's
a lot of time,
yeah,
and we are getting to we are going to record a new scene from Kim Possible today.
Did you get the scene?
I have the scene.
It's so good.
Mark and Bob.
I mean, Mark and Bob are geniuses.
It's right back. It took us right back, like right back.
Do you remember? Okay, so do you remember auditioning for Shigo? How did you approach her? They had just mentioned, because we just had them on before you, that they had worked with you with Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
So how was your audition process for Shigo, and when did you see her face and all that?
Gosh, Christy, it was offer only. So,
was it? Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
I mean, you're an icon. Whatever. I should hope so.
Of course it was offer only.
It was a different day, guys. It was a different day.
I love it. Stop. Come on.
Do you remember when people would just give you jobs? People would just give you jobs at one point.
Yes, I remember that week.
It happened
that was
like
awesome.
Once. Yeah. Yes.
It does not happen anymore.
That's amazing.
But no, I love them, and I loved Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear was so fun. But it's so funny to look at, even from Buzz Lightyear to this show, like, they really took, like, such a move forward in a female character. Because my character on Buzz Lightyear was Princess Miranova, and she was, like, sort of kick-ass in her own way. But literally 90% of what she said was, Buzz, watch out! Like, I mean, it was just a different role for females in any kind of action animation at all. And then they made this show where Kim Possible's just amazing.
Well, so is Shigo, though.
And so is Shigo.
Yeah, I was going to say, some would argue that they really are equals in this way.
Yes.
And it was obviously, we've always talked about how people have taken them and their sort of equality into a place where, oh my gosh, there are these two women and they're beautiful and all that stuff that's happened.
Googling Kim and Chigo can be an interesting
it's,
evening.
I mean, I'm telling you, you know what's so funny is like when you go to Comic-Con or when, you know, one of those and you see the Kim Chigo pairs, you're like, oh, but I also don't talk to them because I'm scared.
Like, wow.
Amazing, though.
Because they look like powerful people.
Yeah,
and women. Yeah, and I'm nervous. I'm a nervous Nelly.
But that's the other thing. I mean, when you look at Kim and Ron and you look at Draken and Shigo, they are flip sides of each other. It's like Draken is the evil Ron. And Shigo is the you know what I would love to ask Mark and Bob is how much of the character they had fleshed out when they started, because some of my favorite episodes are when we get to meet Shigo's family, where it's like Higo and Wego and Migo.
Yes, they
and
come
it's
back
the whole,
a couple
they were
times,
team
too.
Go. They were like a superhero team go.
That's right.
And so you wonder how, you know, how much of that was fleshed out, or I'm guessing, and this is not just because you're here with us now, I would say the same thing, Nicole, that Nicole was so good and the character was so good that they went, we got to extrapolate this out a lot.
Because they could. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It warranted that. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. And I think that also explains the offer only thing, which I think they thought it was going to be like an episode and a half. But listen, it was more. And so I couldn't be happier about that.
Well, I just remember several records. So a lot of people don't know that. Well, we talked about this. Christy and I didn't get to record a lot together. And I was most of the record sessions that I did were with you and John.
Oh, so
it was,
jealous.
It was the three of us kind of in the room together. And we got to know each other pretty well during that time.
I mean, great. We saw each other all the time. It was amazing. And we would spend 2/3 of the recording session talking and then listening to John do Barry White and, you know,
pretty much
and laughing and me just like, you know, basically with an air cigarette, like this town is bullshit, you know.
And LA Studios, that whole vibe of the place that we recorded Kim was very almost looked like a physical embodiment of our sets on Kim. Don't you think? It was Art Deco. It was very dim lighting.
Yes.
It was like palm leaves everywhere with little
jungle.
Like monkeys.
It was jungle. Yeah. Jungle.
Yes. It was such a vibe.
And some of the greatest things ever have been recorded there. I mean, like, from the coolest cartoons to, like, Spinal Tap. The music for Spinal Tap was all recorded. Oh, wow.
No way!
Like, oh, yeah. There's a history to that place that is just remarkable.
It's home for me. It's home for me. I love it there.
Yeah, actually, I feel very similar because when I would go there, you know, Kim was just so new to me and the whole thing of it was so new. And I was, you guys were all legends to me. And so I was so excited to be a part of it that it was like, it felt like being at LA Studios just was home in that way. But I miss you, Nicole.
I'm
so happy
you
that
too.
She was so wonderful to come and cook with me, and we made some green goddessy thing, and we had a blast. But I want to think about what we didn't talk about.
Okay, well, I have one thing. So we're asking everybody this: what do you think? Why? I mean, we've all been in this business for decades now. We've all done different projects. Some of them come, some of them go. What do you think has made Kim Possible sustain for 20 years?
That's such a good question. I mean, I think it's the relationships that they're insanely antagonistic, right? Even like you said, well, like you pointed out, like the two duos, right? Even within their like, and then the two versus two, insanely antagonistic, but with such levity that there was it never got like, even Draken on his worst moment was like, son of a gun, like it never got heavy, but it also never felt pandering. So it kept it light without it feeling like we were talking to like little kids.
I think that's true.
Totally. There was a movement. You're right. Absolutely.
It was. It never. We were talking about how I watched the pilot for the first time in probably 20 years last night. And it wasn't talking down to kids at all. It didn't seem like it was for kids. It just seemed like a good, like, I could see, like, going from watching The Simpsons to going to watching Kim Possible. Like, you could, like, it could have been a late night primetime kind of show. It didn't feel like you were watching a Disney Channel, like, little kid show.
No, I agree. Bob and Mark don't write that. And I don't think we act that. I don't think that's in any of our wheelhouses. And I don't think that's certainly not in their wheelhouse. They write to the funny.
I think that's true.
Absolutely.
So can we ask quickly, what are you working on now? And I just told you had a movie that came out last week, which is pretty awesome.
And I love that you had to tell me that. I'm working on the... am I allowed to say it? I think I'm allowed to say
yes,
it.
Yes, what can you tell us you're working on? Let's put it that way.
The Clone High. There's a Clone High reboot that's coming out. So I've been doing that. That's 20 years later. A little less than 20 years as well. But
then DC Superhero Girls.
DC Superhero Girls, yeah, which is... that cast is
Nicole,
like...
Yeah, who do you play in that, Nicole?
I play a little character called Supergirl.
She's Supergirl.
Ah, that's so cool.
I know. Isn't that the funniest thing ever?
She's
that I'm
Supergirl.
That's so cool.
Like, this raspy nasal voice is Supergirl. But, Lauren wrote the character, so, like, they're just a bunch of teenagers, and they're in each other's faces, and they love each other, and they're in each other's faces, and they love each, you know, that cycle. And Supergirl's just, like... shocking, guys. She's sort of over it all and, like, can't, you know, and it's like the rest of them annoy her, and she's into heavy metal and, you know, all this stuff. But it's a
great take on the character. It really is a great take on Supergirl.
Yeah.
I need to watch this because I've been hearing
it's so
from
good.
Will, now you, Tara, Strong. Like, I've been hearing so many good things about it. I'm very excited about this movie. I think I'm going to watch it with my girls.
Yeah. You should. They would love it, actually. I mean, okay. Watching Tara... Strong work and watching Gray. Tara Strong's like, because she'll be like on her phone. She'll be like, and they'll be giving notes, and she's like Instagram.
Yeah, she's doing
Instagram,
a TikTok or something.
And then she's like, mm-hmm. And then she's like, blah, 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 and does it.
Perfectly
at 100 yep. miles an hour, taking all the notes they set. I'm like, oh my God, she's crazy good.
It's that cast is, when I got a chance to join y'all, that was, for how briefly it was, that was a cast where it was like, wow, everybody in here is really good.
It was fun, and everyone did different stuff, and it's Gray is amazing.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So listen, the voice thing, though, you were just saying how Supergirl has this, you know, raspy voice, but, you know, with Shiko, did you lean into that harder? Like, how did you find inspiration for her voice when you finally... It was offer only, but I'm sure once you appeared, you're like, I'm going to make this character.
I legitimately was smoking a lot of cigarettes at the time.
Girl.
I was young. I was
season
young.
Two.
Me
season
too.
Season two KP, not season one KP.
Me too.
Yeah, I was all like, so the rasp was there. And, you know, it's so funny. I remember I was at a friend's house, and he's like, oh my God, my daughter back east is such a huge fan of Kim Possible. And she would be, can you leave her a message as she go? And I was like, I mean, sure. And then we're at a party, like it's a nighttime party, like drinks and people smoking cigarettes. And I was like, hey, it's Shigo. I was so embarrassed. There was like 9 people watching, and I'm like, I mean, it's just kind of my voice. Like, I think he expected me to go into some like interesting, rah, 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 and I was like, no, it's just kind of how I talk.
It was. It was the 90s. It was what, early 2000s.
Smoking was still cool. Smoking was still cool. Yeah. Now everybody's like, life is a thing you want to live long.
Yeah. I just had my 8-year anniversary. I just had my 8-year anniversary 2 days ago.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You very much.
That's
two
really
days
exciting.
8 years without that's a cigarette. Amazing. Very exciting.
Yeah. I got pregnant when we were doing Kim Possible. So that's when
twice.
That, twice. And that's when that ship sailed. stupid cigarette sailed.
This also has to be cut out, or we will bleep it, because your response to getting pregnant was still one of the funniest stories I've ever heard ever.
We're sitting there,
and she walks in, and I'm like, how are you? And without missing a beat, she goes, ugh, I'm f-ing pregnant.
That is exactly how Shigo would say that, though. That is exactly how Shigo would say
it. I was like, there, that's
it's
your fucking
dragons.
Answer. That's your answer, Will. Okay? Are you happy? I'm pregnant.
It was
oh my gosh,
so
that's
good,
hilarious.
Though. So then your little one is now how old?
He's 15.
Oh, man.
Wow.
15 years ago already.
And 20 years of KP here. This is crazy. Did he watch it?
He has. They have seen it. Listen, they don't think anything I do is interesting or cool. Like, there's no version
nothing,
of it.
There's not a single thing where they've been like, wow, that's cool, Mom.
No, nothing. I remember at one point, I was like, Penguins of Madagascar, Bob Marks show Penguin. I was like, I play the otter on this show. I mean, it's a very funny show. And they're like, yeah, we don't really like. And I was like, it's won an Emmy. It beat out Family Guy for an Emmy and an important show. Like, I was beside myself that they just can't hear me doing anything.
Oh my God!
What about Mad TV or Mad King of Queens? Nothing.
Maybe King of Queens they could watch for a minute or two. But I remember when I was little. This is a true story. Sesame Street called, and I got to do one of those Sesame Street video. You know, that back then they were called videos, and I was the letter A, and Steve Carell was Steve Carell.
Carell or Colbert?
Colbert. Thank you. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Steve Colbert was the letter Z, and it was a story of the letter A versus letter Z. And we were dressed up as the letters in big stuffy costumes, and we were doing bits around the mall, and like A and Z, one's misunderstood. You know, that was the gist. And at one point,
that's so cute.
And it's a Sesame Street video, and I'm showing it to my kids, and they're stone faced. I'm like, guys, Mom's the letter A on Sesame Street, stone faced. And then there's a crowd scene where my husband is like in the back and everyone's like singing a song and they go, look at Daddy! I was like,
no!
I swear to God.
No!
I swear to God. Oh. I was like, I will. So excited that Dad was in the background singing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they're going to look back and realize that you were in everything.
Hey, you know what, Nicole? Yeah. When they have kids and you're the grandma, you're going to be the coolest grandma ever. I promise. It's just going to skip a generation.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Exactly. They'll get there.
So will you hang out with us for another 10, 15 minutes? We're going to go talk to DiMaggio
now. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, boy.
And then we're going to come back and for the first time in 20 years, record new Kim Possible content. And Lisa Schaefer will be directing us, by the way.
Yay, Lisa. Good luck with that cup of crazy called Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can tell them yourself.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in like 10, 12 minutes.
I love you guys. I'll see you in a minute.
Love you too.
We love you too.
Awesome. Wow.
This is going so great.
Oh my goodness.
John DiMaggio's here. John DiMaggio's
this
here.
This is not a test, everybody.
I made it.
This is a real reunion.
Yeah. Just talking to Nicole, Mark, and Bob. Lisa Schaefer's coming in. We've got a new Kim Possible scene to record.
I'm excited about that. I just read it. It's funny.
It's
Boy, we had fun.
Didn't we have fun?
Boy, we had fun on this show.
We really did.
I mean, you know, listen, Christy, you and I really didn't get to record a lot.
That's sad.
But Will and I got to record all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
we're fixing that today, always, I guess.
It was always... It was always guaranteed that we were going to laugh.
The whole time.
We were going to laugh our asses off.
Yep, like, the whole time.
Because just the whole time.
Oh, it was so funny.
I mean, like, I even remember that time, Will, you read that line and you were like, what is the Rufus corkscrew?
Rufus corkscrew!
I mean, and it just sounded so wrong, yet it was so right.
Ron, you both had a tendency to have to say some really crazy lines.
Oh, it was so fun, though. So let me ask you the first question, then. We'd like to ask everybody. Do you remember auditioning for this show? Do you remember when Kim Possible first came across your table?
The big blue.
Yeah. Guy. I mean, I remember was just being like, I can channel this. I can get this guy. I mean, he's really just a rehashed Harvey Korman, like, bad guy. Like, that's all I was thinking. I was just like, nah, just do your Harvey Korman and just have fun and be over the top with this guy. And it was, I mean, and I knew it, and I got it, and it was pretty cool. It was just always so damn funny. Like, it was always so ridiculous. I mean,
you've said some ridiculous stuff in your time.
Oh, yeah. No, I have said a lot of ridiculous stuff. But, I mean, it's the guys. It's Rob and Mark. They were just
so you know, they're listening to you right now.
Oh, good.
They're on mute and standing by here. So they said that's exactly.
That's what they always. That's what producers always sound like when you're recording, anyway, right?
No, those guys, everybody on that show. I was lucky enough to work with them again on Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And Bob is on fire on Twitter.
Oh,
he's on fire.
That's what everybody's talked about. Is
on fire.
Bob on Twitter is pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Anyway, now, this wasn't your first animated series as a regular, was it, Kim Possible?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
About? Futurama came before.
Futurama, I'm trying to figure out the timing. Futurama was in the late 90s, right?
Futurama was 99.
I was a big fan.
Okay, yeah, so 99, and this was that, 2002 when we started recording? Yeah. Okay, all right. So you were coming from season one, which turned out to be season one of 38 different times of Futurama.
Totally.
I'm such a fan of that, really.
Thanks.
It's a phenomenal show.
I'm so happy you're back.
And we're doing more of them, so that's pretty cool.
So happy that happens, right.
So this was after Futurama.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, it was like, once I got the Futurama gig underneath me, then things just started to, you know.
Snowball,
and I started to get gigs left and right, which was really wonderful. My pension, thanks to each and every one of those shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like just the same, like, but this was just so damn funny, and it was great, and it was like all about girl power, and you know, these goofy villains. The villains were just straight up goofy.
I was gonna say, you're also Motor Ed, aren't you?
Yeah. Which came about because we were screwing around in the studio, and I was just.
See?
So I was always going like this, man. Totally.
It was the totally. Totally.
Impossible. You know.
And the thing I remember was constantly singing Motor Ed.
Yeah.
What's your price for that? That was over and over. We would just be singing singing that the whole time.
It was ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, so Motor Bob Ed and Mark. That's what I was going to say. So they heard you playing around, and they decided this would be a full-on character.
Yeah.
Don't realize that. That's very cool.
Which is what happens when you're involved on a show, like, for that long. If you're screwing around, you know, in between stuff. Hold on a second. Hey, Fran, I'm trying to do a thing.
He's trying to do a thing, Fran.
The dog.
The dog.
Huff! Shush!
Huff! What are you doing? You know, when you get in the studio with people that are really creative and... you get to, you know, kind of let your freak flag fly. You know, things happen and they go, oh, we could use that somehow. We could use this somehow. And it just starts to happen.
It works.
Yeah, and it works. And it just works. And
John, did you always do voices even before? I mean, I don't really know your
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was always, it was part of my, when I did stand up from like 90 to 96. And I quit I was in a comedy team, and then I quit the comedy team because I was coming out to L.A. to do a hospital drama.
Of course, as we all do and should.
But yeah, I've always incorporated voices and stuff like that. I've always been a mimic. Not really a guy who's an impersonator.
Right.
But I always do impressions of people that aren't famous. You know, like the guy, like, you know. I used to work with a guy named Manny at Pathmark. Remember Pathmark?
The
supermarket back east. Gone out of business.
Well, it became Big Y, didn't it, or something? It became Stop and Shop or something like that.
No, yeah, maybe Stop and Shop bought him out. Yeah. I don't even know. But this guy Manny I used to work with, he had a speech impediment, and I would just go on the microphone. You can't do this nowadays. You could never do the stuff that we did then. But he would say, hey, John, do me a favor. Go over to the dairy aisle and get me some orange juice.
Oh, he sounds so sweet.
Yeah, I mean, he was a real nice guy. He was totally fine. But, you know, I would just, you know, grab the microphone and, Manny, pick up on local, please. Manny, local. And everybody would die laughing. So, if you could do an impression of somebody good enough, you get the laughs. And so, you know, and I was all about little things like that.
You're also one of those actors, is one of my favorites, where occasionally I will be watching something from the early 90s and it's like, oh, John DiMaggio's a bartender on Law and Order. And it's like that kind of stuff, where it's like I've taken screenshots and sent them to you, like, this is my current view. It's like you're giving Sam Waterston, you know, some whoever it was, you know, whatever time.
It was a sweeps episode.
Of course.
It was Law and Order and Homicide, Life on the Street.
Yes.
And oh God, what's his name? He was on the show with Andy Samberg and
I can't think of
it. You know who I'm talking
about.
Andre Brower.
Okay. Yeah.
He was the guy that was on the opposite side, and he was showing off his Baltimore badge, and I was like, get out of here with that Baltimore. Get out of here. I remember
it's such
that
a
day
because
I woke up late. But I lived like three blocks from the set, and I woke up and I grabbed my stuff and I ran and I showed up. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like everything was totally fine. But it was my first gig, like my first, it was my first like TV gig in New York.
Oh,
like
camera.
I'd done other stuff, but this was like some, I think it was one of the first thing I got cast in. I was so scared, and I'd show up and they were already blocking with second team. And
you
I thought I
fired?
Got replaced. Like, I didn't know how it worked. So, yeah. And then I was like, whew.
All right, Jim, you made it. Great. How'd you hop in there? And
oh, my God. It
that's
was,
but that was the rite of passage because, you know, starting in New York myself, it was like, you done Law & Order yet? You do Law & Order? It's like, yeah, I did.
Yep,
I did. I did season. I was a Chris Noth Law & Order guy who battered me across the table. And it was like, everybody, it's like, oh, yeah, Law & Order. You got to do your Law & Order at some point.
I did an NYPD. Did I do an NYPD Blue?
Oh, wow.
That was here. That was here, though.
That was here.
Ironically,
oh,
that was here
one.
On the Fox
the
lot, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, they shot and the original NYPD Blue not in New York? Wow.
No, it was on the Fox lot. And it was
it was on the Fox lot.
You'd get cast.
I didn't
you'd
know
get
that.
Cast in NYPD Blue. I'd have friends that were like, I can't wait to be in it, but man, I live in the Valley. I don't want to drive to the Fox lot.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh,
but oh my. So we've asked the same question of everybody so far that we've talked to. You know, we've all been in this business for a very long time, as we've said. And you have projects that come and projects that go. Some of them matter to you. Some of them don't. Some of them matter to the audience. Some of them don't. What do you think it is about Kim Possible that has made this last for 20 years?
It's definitely the character development.
Interesting.
The characters, there's always someone that you're just like, I love that guy. Oh my God, that guy. I love that guy. You know, like... I mean, Ron Stoppable is one. He just constantly. I mean,
John loves you, Will.
Will, he doesn't sound like you, but he is you. That's the best part because you're quick. Nobody knows how. No, I don't know how many people don't know how funny you are
He's
and how
so
fast
funny.
You are.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And how what a quick wit you are.
Very.
And
funny.
That's what helps that show. I mean, like, and it's girl power. You're either for Kim or you're for Shigo.
Yep.
And there are a bunch of great villains that are ridiculous that you can always get a laugh out of. And you know, and then like, you know, Kim's family, like there's so many, you know, Dr. Draken's mom. Like wasn't that who played? Wait, that was Estelle Getty. Was that not Estelle Getty?
I'll Google it. Who played?
No, it was the
mom.
Woman from Seinfeld.
Which was it George's mom on Seinfeld?
Yeah, George's mom, I think.
Estelle Harris?
Estelle Harris.
Yeah.
She played I mean, like, we had so many people under. We had Ricardo Montalban. Like,
yeah.
Insanity.
The people that we, and I've been saying this to Mark and Bob, the people that were on the show that we didn't get a chance to work with. Where it's like Gene Smart and Ricardo Montalban and Gary Cole.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I said it. Gene Smart. Smart.
I mean, it was insane.
Have
it
you seen Hacks?
Elliot Gould.
Unbelievable.
I mean, one after another of the people that were on Kim Possible. That was just like, you've got to be kidding me with this cast.
And also, I have to think that our show, I'd like to give it up to the show and the integrity of the show because it was the show to be on. And I remember one time, this is a very random moment, and I didn't really hang out in fancy places with fancy people in LA. But one time, okay, guys, I saw Jude Law at the Chateau, and I was talking, we were talking, everyone was talking, and he was like, and I was like, oh yeah, Kim Possible. I was the voice of Kim Possible. He's like, my kids love that show. And it's like, it was the echo heard around the world. I don't know if you, but like Dakota Fanning played Baby Kim. Ving Rhames was like super yoked up, in that Stitch in Time.
Yeah, in the Stitch in Time. It was, you're right. It was kind
it was
of like the show
level
to be on.
Talent.
Yeah, no. They pulled out all the stops for everybody on that, all the guest
consistently.
Stars.
It was pretty awesome. Jude Law, I didn't know that. That's a cool story.
It's
so
a
you're, so what I got from that is you like to party at the Chateau Marmont.
I don't.
Girl, you get it on at the Chateau.
I was cool once. That. I try to tell my kids. I try
we
to
know that.
Kids.
We know
cool
that.
Once.
That is that's what we're taking. That's the hashtag du jour. Christy hangs out at Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
So are we? Should we hop into this now? Because I think we've got a brand new Kim Possible content for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah.
Essentially,
I can't even right
it's
now.
Awesome.
We're so
I read it and I was just like, oh yeah, this is like riding a bike.
It does. It brings you up. I thought the same thing. It's like it's right back to what happened. It's Amazing.
I can't. We're going to do this. It's happening right now.
Still have my Kim Possible text tone. It's been 15 years since we were last recording Kim Possible with all these fine people. Christy Romano, Will Friedle, John DiMaggio, Nicole Sullivan, written and created by Bob Schooley and Mark McCorkle. I'm the voice director, Lisa Schaefer. And I could not be happier to be here. The only way to be happier was if we were all in person. This is a super fun radio play podcast of what the new Kim Possible would be if they had podcasts back then. So here we go. We will start. There are no line numbers, so we will do this radio play version, pages one through the end. And here we go.
Ron, where have you been?
Where have you been, Kim?
I've been here at the rendezvous point for like 20... What's that smell? Diablo sauce?
I might have stopped at Bueno Nacho on the way.
It's 9 a.m.
Two words, KP. Breakfast Nacho. Available for a limited time only.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
Exactly.
All right, here's the dealio. Wade track Draken to...
Draken.
Ron!
Sorry.
Wade traced Draken to this abandoned factory.
What did they make?
Who make?
The factory. What did they make?
Is that important?
Maybe. Who's to say what's important?
Probably someone who isn't late for a mission because he had to have his breakfast belly bomb.
Limited time only!
Shh. Let's move.
Air ducts?
It's the only way to sneak.
Ugh. Okay, is this air duct more snug than usual, or is that just me?
Definitely you. Maybe if you didn't eat your daily calorie max for breakfast.
Okay, let it go, Kim. We've moved on. Oh, hey, I think I see...
Kim Possible.
Draken.
Welcome to the pod.
What?
Relax and strap in. Oh, no, wait. I'll do it. Oh, comfortable?
Not really.
Then I did my job.
Okay, why did she go just strap us in front of these super cool microphones?
What's the sitch, Draken?
Oy, the buzz phrase.
You two, Kim Possible and... Wait a minute, let me check my card.
Really?
Ron Stoppable. First guests on my new true crime podcast.
Well, you are a true criminal.
Bingo! That's the twist. It's a true crime podcast. You say that 10 times fast, I dare you. It's a true crime podcast from the criminal's point of view. The Yappin' Draken Experience.
Just humor him. He thinks this is clever.
Chico, why must you stomp on all my schemes? Nobody likes a scheme stomper.
Wait, are you two still a couple?
I'm supposed to be interviewing you. Hello?
Yeah, no. I don't want to talk about it. Let's just say it did not work out.
Why, though?
Yeah. What did I just say? Is he always like this?
More or less, but I work around it.
Okay. Our couple name was Shackin. And ew, gross.
I don't know what was wrong with Drago.
Okay, other than your name came before mine, it sounds like we beat up Rocky.
I never thought of it that way. Anyway, so good. Good to have you here, Kim, on the pod.
Do I even have a choice? I'm strapped in.
This is good sassy banter. The Blue Boys will eat this up with a spoon. You'll cut this part out, right?
Blue Boys?
My online fan community.
Question. How many Blue Boys are we talking about here exactly?
What they lack in numbers, they make up for in passion. Way too much passion.
So less than 10.
You think you're all that, but it's 12.
Okay. Are you taking over the world, or is the world taking you over?
Wait, what are we doing?
A word from our sponsors.
You have commercials?
Draken gotta eat, son.
Dr. D, have you ever just had one of those days you just don't feel evil?
Oh boy, did I. Then I discovered Villains Vitabad Power Powder Supplement. Just 2 heaping tablespoons in your favorite smoothie, and you'll feel terrible all day.
Mm-mm. Is this mango?
You bet. Villains Vita Bad Power Powder. Used everywhere from the maddest labs to the dankest lairs. And we're back with Kim Possible. And where's that card?
Oh, come on!
Ha ha! So what have you been up to, Kim? Big plans for the summer?
This is so weird.
You have no idea.
She go! Let's try this. Who is your favorite villain? And keep in mind, Monkey Fist doesn't have a podcast.
Ooh, okay, I was gonna say that.
I loathe all my foes equally, Draken.
Kim is always so tactful.
Okay, I'm bored. Can we just cut to the part where you reveal the real plot and thus blow it?
Shigo, you know I've been working on my excess blab problem.
Oh, wait, there's an evil plot after all this? Is this canon?
No, but this is my supersonic plasma dragon cannon. Say goodbye, Kim Possible, and where's that card?
Come on!
Ah! She got out!
So not saying goodbye, Draken.
Way to go, KP!
Well, that's all the time we have. We'll be back next week, maybe
Shut up and talk!
All right, nice move, KP!
What move? She bounced off a wall!
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's called parkour. Ooh, serpent strike with a spin kick, follow through. Oh, I wish you could see this, it's so cool!
Well, Shigo just did a thing. I believe it's a roundhouse.
It's roundhouse, that was a bad movie, and KP dodges!
Hey, she didn't dodge that. Ooh, that gal can really fly.
Oh, wait, what's this? KP on D with the hair dryer grapple. Oh, and she's going for it.
It's Mean versus Teen. And
now Teen just got dodged, dunked, and kicked butt.
Shigo returns fire with hot hands. Ooh, it could be, it might be. There's the swipe.
Oh, she's down, but she's not out!
Holy cow!
Good night, Irene!
Bye-bye, baby!
Booyah and forget it!
Get out the rye bread and mustard, Grandma, because it's Grand Salami time!
What?
I don't know, I was riffing. And there's the hit! Shigo with no regard for human life!
Hiya!
Oh, Possible in for the save! Adios, Green Lady!
Oh, please, if there's one thing I know, it ain't over till it's over, and it's...
Ah!
Oh, dear, it's over.
What happened?
Yeah, I got a heart out. Beat you next time, losers.
Yo, listen up, Hap Halifrom. Okay, KP, we gotta go.
Global emergency?
Nope, Bueno Nacho just switched over to the lunch menu.
Seriously?
Draken, you in?
I might have a nosh.
Fine. Let's eat.
Like, ride
Yay!
The bike!
Yay!
Woo!
Woo! Wow. I can't believe I forgot a booyah and you saved me on that one.
To throw in a booyah?
It almost seems aggressive that you forgot a booyah.
I know.
It seems personal.
It was a test.
Well, we love you guys.
Christy,
so cool.
Let's just do the full outro here. Thank you guys all so much for joining us on the 20th anniversary episode of Kim Possible.
Dreams come true.
Anybody have any Geritol? 20 years.
This was not only going to be something amazing for the fans, but what a way to spend a morning seeing everybody together again and revisiting these characters and just unbelievable. So thank you all for joining us here on I Hear Voices. Christy,
thank you.
Anything else?
Yes. No, not at all. This was the most perfect day ever. I love you guys and I love all the fans and hell, can we just get a reboot already?
Yeah, seriously. Yes. let's just start doing this again because it's too much fun. Even if it's just for us.
Yeah,
I know.
Regardless.
Oh, man.
Love you guys. Love
you
so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. One thing for everybody before they go, because this is going to be big. Let's go around the horn real quick. Where can everybody find you on your socials? Johnny, where's your socials?
I'm at the John DiMaggio. That couldn't sound more pretentious, but you just got it. At the John DiMaggio, both on Twitter and on Instagram.
All right. Nicole?
At Sullivan Nicole.
Bob?
My cartoon Twitter is Bob_Schooley at twitter.com, I guess. And I have another Twitter, rschooley, S-C-H-O-O-L-E-Y. And that's for everything that's not cartoons.
Mark, what do you got?
On Twitter, my handle is @ridiculousmark.
Okay, Lisa?
On Twitter and Instagram, @sparkly723.
Aw.
That's amazing. Christy, you can find everywhere. And if you find me, it's got to be on the street because I am not on any social media.
I love that you ask about social media. And you're not even you're on. Not on.
I do.
She's
it's
on
the
podcast.
Joy. I do. Yeah. It's the joy. So come up and say
Look
hi.
You taking
if
care
you
of your mental
me.
Health, whatever.
I know.
Nuts,
right?
How dare you?
How dare you?
Well, thank you all for joining us, making our dreams come true and everybody else's as well. So, for everybody out there, thank you for joining us on the 20th anniversary of a very important show for all of us, Kim Possible. We know you loved it too, and we are so happy to be able to bring everybody together again in what was truly been a magical, magical morning. So thanks everybody for joining us, and go hit us up at all their socials or just say hi to me on the street. Thanks everybody.
Stream that show.
Yeah.
Stream Kim Possible.
Oh yeah,
Disney
stream
Plus.
It on Disney Plus.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred L. and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred L. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?